Hello, this is Pastor Trent. I want to welcome you to the Mountain Home Church, the Nazarene Sermon Podcast. We are thrilled that you are tuning in to hear sermons from our ministries here at our church. It is our hope that the Spirit of Christ would be present with you as you listen today. I do want to take just a moment to invite you to reach out and connect with us. On our website, we have a way for you to do just that. You can visit www.mhnazarene.org/connect and fill out a very brief form. There's a spot to leave contact info, ask questions, and even to request prayer. Also, be sure to indicate that you listen to us through our SoundCloud podcast to let us know where you're listening. May the Lord be with you this day. Grace and peace to you.
Well, I just want to especially welcome you to church here this day. If this is your church home and you come every week, or if this is perhaps maybe the first time you've stepped into a church for a while, or maybe ever, I just want to say welcome. You are welcome in this place. As we come to worship each Sunday, it's important to us to know, for us to let people know that this is a place where you come as you are. You don't have to put on a show, a front. You don't have to act a certain way. You don't have to dress a certain way. You come as you are, and that's important to us. Over the course of the last 7 weeks, we've been on a bit of a journey, and particularly the last about a week and a half. As Lent has ended, Lent is the period of the calendar between Ash Wednesday and Holy Week. As Lent has ended, we started 10 days ago with kind of a demonstration of what the Passover meal was like for those in the Jewish faith and in the Jewish community. So when Jesus called together his apostles on that day that they celebrated Passover, we had a picture for what that was like as he gathered the apostles into an upper room. They met with Jesus and shared a meal. Last Sunday, we celebrated with the folks in Jerusalem. As Jesus came into town, the town got really excited. It says people lined the streets and waved palm branches and laid their cloaks down on the ground as Jesus came into town. It's so good to celebrate and to rejoice as Jesus is our King. There was very, very few times in his ministry, in his life, where he allowed those sorts of things to happen. But on that day, as he rightly deserved, we celebrated the entry of Jesus into the city. Even though some of those folks that lined the streets were probably had a fickle and temporary, short-lived praise for Jesus, that later that week they would be in the crowd that hollered and demanded his crucifixion. On Wednesday, we set up our Stations of the Cross experience that was right here in this room. Some of you had a chance to participate with us. Many of us had the chance to experience the journey Christ took on that final 24 hours of his life, starting in the garden, moving to the sham trial that he was put through. To wearing the crown of thorns and being beaten and being abused, to the crucifixion. And just 2 days ago, we gathered on Good Friday to remember the final statement that Jesus made from the cross. It is accomplished. It is completed. It is finished. The work that Christ came to do for our salvation was done, was made complete, was filled full in his life, in the life of Jesus Christ. It's in this moment we see the sacrifice that was made by God for us completed. But this Easter Sunday, we turn to the passage we find in Mark that talks about what happened after the crucifixion. What happened after this all came to pass? And Mark is kind of the gospel that's connected to our church year this year. And Mark's account of the resurrection is really kind of odd. And so I want to give just a couple of disclaimers before we get to reading it, okay? We're going to turn to Mark chapter 16. I'm going to read verses 1 through 8. If you have a Bible and you were to open it, you would see Mark chapter 16 is kind of different. It has 8 verses, And then mine has a verse 9. And then it has a second verse 9. And then it goes down to 20. And I want to explain just a little bit about what scholars believe happened here. The ending of Mark's gospel is so odd, so weird, that people who came behind it said, I think we need a little bit more to this story. And so they added a verse, the first verse 9. And then somebody thought it wasn't quite good enough, so they added another verse 9. And it happened a long time ago, and it's still in our translations today. But most scholars believe the Gospel of Mark actually ends at verse 8. And so that's where we're going to stop today. If you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to Mark chapter 16. If you have your devices, you can point it in that direction. It'll also be on the screen behind me. For those of you who are willing and able, I invite you to stand out of reverence for the reading of God's word. As I read today from Mark, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 16. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so they could go and anoint Jesus' dead body. Then, very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they came to the tomb. They were saying to each other, "Who's going to roll the stone away from the entrance for us?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, and it was a very large stone. Going into the tomb, they saw a young man in a white robe seated on the right side, and they were startled. But he said to them, "Don't be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified. He has been raised. He isn't here. Look, here's the place where they laid him. Go tell his disciples, especially Peter, that he is going ahead of you into Galilee. You'll see him there just as he told you." And then verse 8, overcome with terror and dread, they fled the tomb. They fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. This is the word of God given to us, the people of God. We say thanks be to God. Please be seated. What an ending. What an ending to this incredible story that we have of Jesus' resurrection. They said nothing to nobody. They didn't say a peep. They didn't say a word. Mark's ending to this story is so unlike everything else that we see about the account of Jesus and Jesus' resurrection. So unlike anything that we see in the other gospels. There's three other gospels that tell of this account and this resurrection story. Matthew and Mark and Luke and John are the name of those four gospels. In the other three, there's much more to the story. It always cracks me up a little bit and catches me a bit off guard that this is how Mark would end his story. You see, we have the narrative of the preparation of Jesus' body. Crucifixion had happened the day before the Sabbath. And so as the day came to an end and the three that were crucified had lost their life, there's one gospel that talks about how the two people that were crucified with Jesus had to have their legs broken to shorten their lives so that they would die by the end of the day. And as the sun set on that day, that was the start of the Sabbath for the Jewish people. And so it was against their rituals and against their customs to do work on that day. And so they just put Jesus in the tomb, having not been fully prepared. And so as soon as Sabbath ended, and that would have been the sun going down on Saturday, it says that these three women went to go buy spices to prepare Jesus' body, to take it through the paces that one normally does to ready a body for burial. And then on the third day, they headed to the tomb despite the stone. When they arrive there, they meet this unknown character at the empty tomb. He tells them, "Don't be afraid." Whenever people encounter angels, the first thing angels say, "Don't be afraid." They must be terrifying. I haven't seen an angel. We kind of think of them as majestic, heavenly, gentle creatures, but I don't think so. Because they're always like, "Don't be afraid. You're going to be okay." This young man says, "He is risen. He is risen. He's not here. He's not here where they laid him." Now go. It says the women were terrified. They dreaded this moment. They said nothing. They said zero. They said zip. There's a couple of things I want to address with this passage. The first is how the ladies treat the barriers that are obviously in the way of them getting to Jesus. The ladies knew. We're going to get there, and there's a stone. They even talked about it on the way. I wonder if when they set out, they hadn't realized. They had forgotten about the stone. They knew it was there. They knew where Jesus' body had been laid. The women were there all the way through the story. They were there on his way to being marched up to Golgotha's hill to be crucified. They were there in the moment of crucifixion. They were there when the body was pulled from the cross. And here they are again after Sabbath, saying, we go to honor the one that we loved. We go to do the ritual preparation for this body of this man that we've cared so much about. Their goal was to go and honor, respect, and revere, care for the one that they loved. Clearly, they had heard about the stone because, again, on the way, they're like, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. What are we going to do when we get there? Still, they walked in that direction. When they talked about it, can you imagine? What if they had said, what about the rock? They're halfway there, and they remember. Remember, they put that huge rock in the way. What are we going to do? And imagine one of them saying, you're right. We're not going to get in. Let's pack it up. Let's go home. We're not doing this today. No. In faith, they go. In faith, they go to honor Jesus' body, to prepare it for the burial that had already taken place. They were ready to improvise, ready to adjust, ready to do whatever it took to complete this job. I think that the reality of the world in which we live is that there's a lot of barriers to people coming to Jesus. That there's a lot of barriers that people have of coming to Jesus. The things that we keep, that would keep us from this truth that Jesus offers, the salvation offered by the Son of God and his resurrection on this day. Too often we let the barriers win. Unlike the women who pressed through, unlike the women who pressed on and said, I don't know what we're going to do when we get there and the stone is still there, but we're going to go. We let the barriers deter us, point us off track, point us in a new direction, turn us around, veer us, steer us off course from encountering Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. What are some of those barriers today? I think one of those barriers is disappointments. As I talk with people who've walked with Jesus in the past, sometimes they bring up things about how they had prayed desperately for one that they love. They didn't understand. They didn't understand how something had turned out or the way that something had went. And in their heart and in their mind, I just felt so disappointed by the lack of God to come through or the failure of something that needed to happen that didn't happen, or something did happen that was awful. One of the barriers that I encounter a lot is distrust. Man, there's a whole lot of things that we can say about the ways that people have let others down. And that includes the church, folks. Sometimes the church has let people down and has fostered this sense of distrust and skepticism and kind of looking at the church with a side eye and a little bit of skepticism. And I want to tell you that sometimes the church has earned that distrust. But I also want to tell you that the one that we worship is worthy of our trust. That when we look to the person that was in that grave, when we look at the person that is risen, we can place our trust in Jesus Christ. Sometimes people let us down. Sometimes this preacher lets people down. And yet I am so confident to say if we place our trust in the person of Jesus Christ, we will not be disappointed. I think some of the barriers that people have are wounds and hurts, things where they've come and they've encountered and expected to be cared for, to be loved. And that hasn't been the case. As they've come to church, as they've come to the people who say, Jesus Christ is who we worship. I want to tell you, for some folks, it's really hard to come to church. There are real barriers that lots of us are dealing with. What I love about these women is they say, we don't care. The rock's in the way. We don't care. We're going. To honor our relationship with this man, we are going to go. They keep going, pushing on toward Jesus and on the mission that they started. I love that they acknowledge it and just say, it doesn't matter. We're going. It doesn't matter. We're pushing on toward Jesus. What this brought about was an extraordinary moment for these women. They show up at the tomb ready to prepare the body for burial and take it through the proper rituals of preparation. As they enter the tomb, and if you look back one chapter into chapter 15, the previous chapter ensures they know where Jesus was buried. They were there when his body was laid to rest. And if the stone wasn't rolled away, wasn't enough, to their greater surprise, the body of Jesus is no longer there. The one that they had just seen laid to rest just a few hours before was not there. Instead, there sits a young man who apparently looks terrifying. He has astounding news. He is risen. Jesus is risen. He's not here. He's headed to Galilee. Go tell the apostles. Tell those who followed him over the past 3 years to meet him in the region of Galilee. And it's here in this moment that we encounter just this remarkable reality. That in this moment, according to the Gospel of Mark, there were three people alive, only three people alive, who held this incredible news that Jesus was risen. Only three people. This incredible, remarkable, life-changing truth and reality was held gently and gingerly by three women who just moments before were overcome with grief. Eyes down to the ground, barely could be able to lift up, walking slowly. Across the miles, across the hillsides to get to this tomb, these three women held this story of Christ being risen, the only three people on the face of the planet. It's an incredible moment when you think about it, that they were held this way by so few people. And it all hinged on what Mary and Salome would do in this moment. Obviously, we're talking about this moment today, and it's 2023. It's a few years have gone by since then. Obviously, these women shared the news and talked. I know people can get puzzled about what the text says, but I was reading one commentary this week about this passage, and they brought up the fact that this is kind of a consistent pattern in the Gospel of Mark. If you look to Mark chapter 1, there's a story that the writer uses very much the same wording in this story. A leprous man comes to Jesus and says, if you want, you can make me clean. It says that Jesus broke all the barriers that we're supposed to have with people in this clean and unclean society. It says Jesus touched the man and healed him. Jesus says, now, don't say anything to anyone. I want you to go to the priest and offer sacrifice. Scripture says he went out and told everybody. It's like on the way, do you recognize me? Probably a lot of people didn't. In that society where there's the clean and the unclean, not a lot of people make eye contact with the unclean. Not a lot of people take a look at them and see them and recognize them. And he probably went up to people and said, look at my skin. I'm healed. Can you believe it? Again, in Mark chapter 7, there's a man who was deaf, and it says he could hardly speak. His tongue was twisted. Jesus heals him, and Jesus tells everyone, don't say anything about this to anyone. Obviously, we can read it in Mark chapter 7. When somebody told somebody, people disobeyed Jesus and say, this is getting out. The news is getting out. The news about the gospel message keeps breaking out all over the place in the gospel of Mark. It busts out when Jesus says, don't let it. When Jesus says, keep a lid on it, the lid is blown off. Mark 7:36 says, the more he tried to silence them, the more eagerly they shared the news. All the parents said amen, right? This becomes a theme over the course of the book of Mark, really of all the gospels. The message of Jesus is never contained. It's never restrained. It can't be held back. It's relentless. It's unstoppable. It's powerful and strong. It has force and momentum and velocity, and it breaks out into the world with a force and a strength that can't be stopped. Amen. That's good news. Because people are changed by this message. People are changed by the message of Jesus Christ. Mary and Salome were not in any place or position of power, not in any place to be held valid as they testified to the resurrection of Jesus. If you know the story of Mary Magdalene, the first time that she's introduced into Jesus' ministry, she was anointing his oil with feet, and the people who had gathered around, the religious people of that day, stood back and went, if Jesus knew what this lady had done, I don't think he would let her touch him. Some of the things she had done, the life that she led, put her on the margins. And people weren't real thrilled about, about changing her status. We also have Mary, his mother, likely a widow. We think that because we don't hear anything about Joseph once Jesus starts his ministry. By now, Mary, the mother of Jesus and James, was probably a widow. Her eldest son had just been convicted, a state criminal, and crucified. Capital punishment. She's the second witness of this truth. We know very little about Salome. This is the only instance her name is brought up in the Gospels. There is no status in the people who share this testimony. And these three women, with very little voice in a very male-dominated culture, held the truth of the resurrection of Jesus Christ in the palms of their hands. And what did they do? I'm so glad. I'm so glad they spoke up. I'm so glad they did as they were instructed. I'm so glad they went to the apostles. The other gospels recorded that they told the apostles, and the apostles didn't really believe them. The apostles had to go check themselves and ran to the tomb. What if they had kept it to themselves? What if they had thought, nobody's going to believe us? What's the point? Why would we even put ourselves out there? The truth is, today we have the chance to be forgiven. We have the chance to have right relationship with God due to the strength and the boldness of these women. The women who were terrified, that's what we know about them in this gospel. They were terrified, who were filled with dread, and who fled from the tomb. Mary Magdalene eventually becomes known as the apostle to the apostles. She was the one who went and told the apostles, look, he's no longer dead. He is alive. Praise the Lord. Come see. Come check it out where his body was laid. And so the question falls to us. What will we do with the news of the risen Savior? What will we do with this light-filled, hope-filled, gospel-filled, grace-filled news that Jesus is no longer in the tomb, that the Lamb of God who comes to take away the sins of the world has been slain? Yes. But, oh glory, he has been resurrected as well. Amen. That is the good news that we hold on this day, and that is the news that we celebrate. And that's the reason we gather each Sunday to worship Jesus Christ. For every Sunday is Resurrection Sunday, in part because these three had the boldness and the strength to share their story and to share that good news. Let me pray for us, and we'll continue. Lord God, today, thank you for this story. Thank you for this reality that Christ has risen from the grave, that he is no longer contained, that he is no longer in the tomb. I'm thankful for the faithfulness of Mary and Salome and their bold witness to go and share this story without status, without position or power. And I'm so grateful the gospel just kind of keeps breaking out in places where it's not supposed to break out. May this be one of those places. Oh God, would this be one of those places? This church, this town, I pray for all the churches this morning that are celebrating your resurrection today. We're not in competition with those that would proclaim Jesus Christ is alive. He is risen from the dead. We join forces with them to be the voice here on earth of those that proclaim the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We love you. Thank you for loving us so much and giving us this opportunity to have relationship with you. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Let me offer this benediction prayer as we close today. We have this tradition of extending our hands as a physical reminder that we receive this benediction prayer this morning. May we understand and live and breathe the very gospel that just has that tendency to break out in the world around us. And may we, like the women entrusted first with this good news, be willing to spread the word and share the joy of the resurrected Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Go in the love of Christ.
Thanks for joining us today on the Mountain Home Church The Nazarene podcast. Don't forget to visit us at mhnazarene.org/connect if you'd like to connect with us, and have a great week.